You and I are given these 50 days of Easter, of the Easter season, to meditate on the mystery of Christ's resurrection. On this past Thursday, Christians celebrated the Ascension, commemorating the 40 days that the risen Christ was present after the resurrection. Today, the adventures of the apostles continue in today's reading from Acts. We read a wonderfully detailed story of exorcism and outrage, mob scenes and courtroom drama, liberation and celebration, with Paul at the center of the action and God very busy at work everywhere. Let us reflect on three persons in our reading from Acts: the slave girl, the jailer, and Paul. First, the slave girl. In last week's reading from Acts, as Jeff Barrell told us in his sermon last week, we met Lydia, the Gentile woman of considerable means, who brought herself and her whole household to faith in Jesus. While Lydia was a woman of position and many possessions, with her own household and a business to run, this other woman, really a young girl, was a person in the street, a slave girl, owned by other humans, but also held captive by a spirit that appeared to give her special powers. Biblical scholar Paul Wolaski says people would come to a girl like this to ask her questions, which she would answer while in a trance, as if the God were speaking through her. Just as we have shops on city streets with the sign "psychic" out front, it would not have been uncommon to encounter a young girl like this in urban settings. This girl is a lucrative small business enterprise for the men who own her. Like so many young girls, she is used by those who have figured out a way to make money with her. Catherine Matthews tells us that the slave girl should lead us to ask about the many ways we humans are captive to forces seemingly more powerful than we are. There are powers that keep us bound: old prejudices, systemic injustice that we don't even see but certainly benefit from, a need for security, fear that makes us strangers from one another, resentment that grips us and keeps us apart. Perhaps we don't call these demons or even spirits, but they are powerful indeed, and we need to be set free from them. The slave girl should lead us to confront human trafficking, perniciously alive in the world today. Slavery is not a thing of the past. The girl is quickly left behind when the men who own her decide to go after Paul and his companions. A kangaroo court follows when the men make all sorts of accusations. They don't even try to recover the money they lost. They don't want justice, they want revenge. And they go about it in an ugly way, claiming that these Jewish visitors were causing trouble with their strange customs and teachings. What is going on here? Some scholars claim that Paul is threatening the economic injustice of slavery, even indirectly, by depriving these ancient businessmen of their livelihood. Secondly, we focus on the jailer. When Paul is freed from his chains in prison, he doesn't run because he knows the price that his jailer will pay. What happens next is an illustration of the power of the gospel to transform lives when the jailer and his family are baptized into the faith. The jailer and his family are outsiders coming in, responding wholeheartedly to the good news Paul preaches, an inclusive gospel of grace. In Paul's view, there is no longer Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female, for we are all one in Christ. How amazed the jailer must be, just as he is about to kill himself, to see that the prisoners are still here. Fear almost leads to death, but compassion leads to life and his family's life being transformed. It would be wonderful to know what happened to the jailer after Paul left, but perhaps we get a hint of it in our own day every time we hear the rest of the story from those who found their way to faith and healing, especially because of the kindness and mercy of another. And thirdly, we look at Paul. Paul frees the slave girl from her captors. Paul saves the life of the jailer. He is flogged and put into prison, but he is busy bringing the good news of the risen Christ to new places and new people. When we read about Paul and Silas singing late at night in prison, we might be reminded of slavery and later the civil rights movement in our own country. We remember the power of prayer and song in holding people together who were in their own form of captivity. There is hardly a better and a more appropriate place for prayer and singing hymns than in prison. Those hymns are in their own way a haunting claim of freedom. Everyone in this story from Acts needs to be freed. Not only the slave girl, but also the men who used her, who were possessed by greed, the men who judged Paul, possessed by fear and a hunger for power, the jailer, a victim in his own way, and most surprisingly of all, Paul and Silas themselves, who need to be freed from their narrow view of thinking. Paul needs to see that the slave girl is a person with dignity in her own person, someone who deserves to be welcomed into the community of faith. You and I don't just read about this story, about the slave girl, the jailer, and Paul. We are part of that great story, that great adventure. Even today, 2,000 years later, in the church that claims to follow Jesus, in a world still captive, a world still hungry for the good news. Amen.